last year and kind of just reflect on the things that have happened. Here for Park Lane Baptist Church, we've had a few new folks come in and into the church to attend. We've had some that have passed away. We look through this year and we can see some of the fun and victories we've had and some of the heartaches as well. We might look at our own life, and as we look at our own life, we might ask questions. What have I accomplished this last year? Well, I went to work, and I went to church, and I fed the kids, so I did all that. But did I do anything of real significance this year? That might be things we think about. We might think about the way that we've perhaps experienced some really fun times. Maybe you went on vacation somewhere that you really wanted to go. Or you learned something this year that maybe you never want to forget. We've do a little bit of that. I think it comes natural as we're looking to a new year. Not only do we do that, but we also look ahead to the year. What is going to happen in this next year? A lot of us make resolutions. Half of Americans make resolutions. Resolutions that by the end of the third day, they've already quit, right? Majority of them, they want to become a better person or to lose weight or gain weight or something with weight, somehow to be more healthy. And guess what we do? We're gonna have a big blowout right before, right? You're gonna come and we're gonna have snacks and stuff, and you're gonna eat yourself sick until you get find out that, wait a minute, I probably shouldn't do this if I'm going to try to lose a bunch of weight next year. If I'm going to lose a bunch of weight next year, I probably shouldn't feast or gorge myself on New Year's Eve. Of course, at the same time, if I'm going to starve myself to death for the next year, I'm going to want to enjoy New Year's Eve. We make all kinds of ideas and plans for the next year. Some of you, they don't make any resolutions, but you think to yourself, you know, there is something I'd like to do this next year. Maybe you're thinking about a vacation you'd like to do or family you'd like to visit. Maybe some sort of project at home you want to get done this year. One of the things I'd like to do is get our yard taken care of in such a way that it looks real nice. We've been there a little bit of time, and I liked our yard look. I mean, we probably won't get into any magazine or anything, but something make the yard look nice, make our house look good. So you might have those different kinds of plans. What about spiritually speaking? Have you thought about spiritually? This is also a good time for us to think about, have I grown spiritually over the last year? Now, it's easy for us to come up with a right answer, isn't it? But is it the correct answer? We know the right answer is to look back over the year and say, hey, you know what? I have really grown spiritually. I'm really reading the Bible more, or having read in the Bible, I'm really understanding certain passages more. Maybe I'm looking through the scriptures and there's other things that I'm really enjoying. And as I do that, that's exciting. And then I decide, what am I going to do this next year? Well, I have a challenge for you. And I think it's something that we must do. And the reason I say that is because I find it here in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. Verse 28 says, then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceived that Jesus had answered them well, and asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? The discussion was about the resurrection. And when a person dies, when they go to heaven, who are they married to if they've had more than one wife or husband here on this earth? Well, Jesus answers and reveals to them that up in heaven it's not like it is here on earth. Seeing that Jesus gave a good answer, and some say because the scribe here that saw that and liked the answer at least, it might point to him being a Pharisee. you see, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels and resurrection and a lot of supernatural things. And that's why they were sad, you see. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they believed those things, but they held a second kind of standard, a more strict standard. And the law said, the Bible says this, but they went beyond that. And going beyond that, especially for other people, not necessarily themselves, they were not fair, you see. So you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and there you have the discussion that happens, and here one of the scribes, perhaps a Pharisee, because he liked the answer, didn't disagree with it, goes to Jesus, and he says, what's the first commandment? Now, the word first does not only mean the first in order. It also means the greatest commandment. And that's what he's looking here for. He knows that Jesus knows the first commandment is to have no other gods before me, God says. That being said, Jesus doesn't answer that. He answers what the greatest commandment, just what the question was asked. The first or greatest of all commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment, the greatest commandment. We are to love God above all things. If I were to ask you, are you in love with God? You know what the right answer is, isn't it? But what is the correct answer? How do you know what the correct answer is? Just take a glance back at your life this last year. What sort of things have you done to show your love for God? Well, I've gone to church. Do you come to church out of habit? It's a good habit. Or do you come because you love the Lord? See, there's a difference there. When you go home, you give your wife or husband a kiss. Do you do that because you love them or because you're in the habit of it? Probably a little bit of both, right? You know, sometimes we do things because of habit rather than because of love. And we need to make sure what we're doing is for love. So first thing we need to do is we need to fall in love with the Lord with all of our heart. Do you remember falling in love? Some of you still are in love. Or at least a whole bunch alike, right? Here we are told to fall in love with God. Our entire being. We look at the New Testament and you see love as an action that takes place, 1 Corinthians 13. But I believe that it goes just far beyond the action to the emotions. In fact, it says that here with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, every bit of us, our emotions, our volition, our intellect, every bit of us needs to be in love with God. When we love the Lord, we find that we want to spend time with Him. Falling in love occurs when you spend considerable time with the Lord. When we spend considerable time with the Lord, we say to the Lord, look, you're important to me, I want to spend time with you. Remember when you were first falling in love? How did it happen? The first thing is you began to fall in love when you spent a lot of time together. Maybe it was at work. You worked at the same place. Maybe at school. For us, it was at college. We were at college and the same college. Not only the same college, but on weekends, we would do things together in a group. And then started going doing things together as a couple. So it takes some sort of time just to get to know somebody to start to fall in love with them, right? Then remember when you were like really in love with them? Do you remember what happened then? You are always on the phone with them. You're always at their place, or they're always at your place, or you're always out and about. Why? Because you want to spend all the time you could with them. Isn't that right? We need to spend that kind of time with God as well. We need to spend that time with God as we read the Bible and as we pray. Taking time to learn about Him through the Word and spend time in prayer, going to church and being with God's people and learning more about Him. Also, Bible study, any way that we can. Take a moment to think through this. If I'm to love God with all who I am, and when it comes to the human kind of love, the loving, that romantic love that we have for one another, or even brotherly love that we have for one another, we like to spend time with them. Do we take the initiative to spend that sort of time with God? If I look over this last year, could I say that I love God with all my heart? Well, Pastor, it's easy for you. That's all you do all day. You're in the office, and you're studying, or you're out and serving, or visiting. So it's easy for you. How many of you have taken out the trash and not thought about how much you love your wife or husband? How many times have you gassed up the car, not because necessarily because you love your husband or wife so much, but because it needed to be done? You see what can happen there? We can be serving the Lord without having that love in our heart. It's something we have to work at, something we have to practice. So we need to spend time with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "You seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Deuteronomy 6, 5, we have in front of us here, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your strength." Deuteronomy 13, verse 3 tells us, he says, "Do not listen to the words of the false prophet or the dreamers of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, it tells them there to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. We have there four times with all your heart and all your soul how we're to love the Lord and to search for the Lord. And in doing that, we're going to take time to do that. Not only take time to do that, but we're going to learn and observe. When you're with that special person, what did you do? You watched and see how they interacted with other people and how they treated you, didn't you? When you're out there in college, we called it fishing, which had nothing to do with fish. We'd be out there and we'd be checking out the girls. And we'd be paying attention. How do they act as an individual? How do they interact with other people? They look like, if this was somebody, we thought to ourselves, this is somebody I might like and even think about marriage. Well, what did they think about children? How are they around children? Or how do they spend their money? Or what kind of things did they like? And what kind of things did they not like? One of the things Dawn did not like is we watched the movie, and at the very end, it was a dramatic movie. It wasn't a real romantic movie, but there's a little bit of romance in it. And at the end, the guy kisses the girl. And she didn't like when I said, "Oh, what a way to ruin a movie." Right at that real, touchy-feely moment. And she's all excited because the guy got the girl. And so here I called it out and said, "It ruined the movie." Yeah, she didn't like that. So she actually does not watch those kinds of movies with me around. It worked. You learn about them. When we're in love with God, do we really know God? Are we really striving to learn about God? Listen, I remember when I was going to college and going into the doctrine classes. Now, I grew up at Temple Baptist Church in Lincoln, and I spent high school at Lincoln Christian School. So I had a pretty good handle on who God was and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the doctrines. And when we came to doctrine class, you know, it seemed kind of easy, and you learned a little bit, but not, you know, you didn't feel like you learned a ton, necessarily. And you got up in the upper grades, in the lower grades, you got your first year of college, you got your doctrine classes. And so you got to the fourth year, though, and then you're learning some stuff that you really hadn't thought through. Learning some things about God that you really hadn't said, well, you know, I never really thought about that. And as you look at the scriptures, it's true. Nothing surprising, but the way you thought through it is a little different. And I graduated from college, and I said to myself, you know, I guess I'm not as smart as I thought I was about who God is. I went off to seminary. And after I went through those classes there, as I was going through those classes, you know what I figured out? I'm as dumb as a stick. My professors, they really were able to explain and expound truths of the scripture that I thought, wow, that's really hard for a person to understand. I comprehend what they're saying, but they've really spent time studying and learning it. We come to church or we think about God and read our Bibles and we say, well, I know about God. I've been a Christian for many, many years. And so we look at the scriptures and sometimes I think we look at them and read them and say, I know that already. Just like you talk to your teens. You tell them something. And what they answer, I know. We just got a game this for Christmas. In this game, you have to slap the paper and you have to say, I know, and then give your answer. If you slap the paper but don't say, I know, and give your answer, you don't get the points. You have to say the I know. And as many times as my kids have said to me, I know, they never say it during the game. They forget to do it then. We look at the scriptures and we know about God, right? But hopefully when you come into Sunday school class, when you come into big church, you'll find out, wait a minute, maybe I don't know, I know the truth, but haven't really applied it the way that I should or could. When we love the Lord our God, what we do is we learn about Him. We need to be diligent this next year to be learning about the Scripture, learning the Scriptures, learning more about God. When you're in love, not only do you want to spend all kinds of time with that person, that means those busy things that you tend to do, you give up in order to spend time with them. And you learn to and observe them, but you experience things together with them. The things that we go through in this life, do we see them as experience with the Lord, or do we see them as that's just the way life is? There's a difference. We can go through something, say that's just the way life is, and maybe not even learn from our experience, or we can build our faith. And trust God as He leads us through, whether joyous experiences, and we recognize, wait a minute, this is God who has brought this upon me. And I praise Him. And I build my love towards Him that way. Or I go through a very dark and difficult time. We all go through those times. Did you know that? Every one of us has those times in our life where it just seems that those clouds won't dissipate. And we can either just moan and groan, or we can say, Lord, I really need your help here, and trust Him through that experience. What happens when we do that? Well, it's kind of like when there's an experience in your own home. When there's an experience in your own home, what happens? When there's joy, what tends to happen? Oh, y'all are happy, excited, give each other high fives and hugs and kisses, and excited about that. That's good. But sometimes when times are really hard, maybe a person loses their job. Maybe there's a death in the near family. Maybe there's some other experience, some other tragic event that happens. Sometimes, a lot of times, sadly, what happens is there causes tension and strife amongst the family members. That's not good. There's a choice that's made. Either you decide to do it together as a team and learn and grow from it and grow closer together, or you tend to go separate ways. In our experiences with the Lord, we can learn to love the Lord our God with all of our heart by the experiences that we have and making sure that we're acknowledging Him through those, trusting Him through those. So here we see that the greatest thing I'm supposed to do is to love the Lord my God with all my heart. Now, when you make your priority list, that should be the first thing at the top of the list. What am I going to do? Going to love God today. How am I going to do it? That's a good question. I can spend time with Him. Going to learn about Him. Experience some things with Him. Not only should I fall in love with God by pouring out my heart upon Him, but we need to show that our love through our commitment to Him as well. We are to be committed to Him in all that we do. We are to commit to the Lord with all of our heart. If we love God with all our hearts, nothing else will capture our attention away from Him. You watched the football game last night. And as you watched very intently, especially at the very end, 42-45. If you're a wife who's rooting for Ohio State, wants something in the kitchen, what do you tell her? No. It's the very end and they might score. Get in trouble later for that. My wife was in bed, so she didn't disturb me at that point in time. You are not going to let anything pull you away because you have a love for the game and your attention is completely on that game. You're committed to watching those last minutes. Why? Because they might score and win. Do we have that same sort of attention upon God? You know, when we did our scripture reading this morning in Deuteronomy, he says, when you go into that land and you're filled with all those good things that I am gifted to you, houses you didn't build and wells you didn't make, but they conquered, and those were given to them basically by God. As He gave those to him, and they were filled, their stomachs were filled and all that, and everything is going well, what does tend to happen to even us when everything is going well? We forget. And our love starts going towards the things that He gives us rather than to Him. We need to have our hearts and minds set upon Him rather than on the things that He gives us. We need to have our minds and hearts set upon Him rather than enjoying the prestige He gives us because we're the CEO of a company, or gives us blessings of riches because He's so good to us. We need to make sure that we're not trusting in those things, letting those distract us. He's given us some interests as part of who we are. You like football, and not too long from now, guess what it is? Super Bowl, right? People are looking forward to that. We don't care about college football anymore. The Holiday Bowl is done, so nothing else really matters. But my wife will think we'll need to watch the Ohio State game. So she thinks that matters. It doesn't, but she thinks it does. You're going to have things that you are interested in, and God, I think, has given you those things to enjoy. But we cannot let that distract us from the love we have for the Lord. This means sacrificing those things that are going to distract us from His will. Are there things that are distracting you? First thing in the morning, I get up and what do? I check the weather. What's the weather going to be like? I don't do it, I like to do it now just for interest's sake. I was doing it earlier this season because if it was nice enough, you go run outside. Now it's just plain cold. And so there's no running outside now. So I would go up there and check the weather. Do I get up in the morning and spend time with the Lord? Maybe you wake up in the morning about the same time as your spouse. Do you wake up one another? You wake up and say to one another, "Good morning, honey." Do you do that with the Lord? You see, we need to make Him priority in our life, and not let things distract us. We must have our commitment to Him. And sometimes we need to sacrifice. I'd really like to watch this TV show. I really want to watch the Super Bowl. I really want to watch this on TV. But I'm going to sacrifice that so I can go to church. Or I'm going to sacrifice that so I can spend time in God's Word. Love to go disc golfing. Well, not today. It's cold outside. But I'd love to go disc golfing. But you know what? I really need to spend some time with God. I haven't yet today. Do you see what happens? There's some sacrifice that's required. Even in your own marriage, there's sacrifice that's required, isn't there? You wanted steak for dinner, but she said we're having chicken instead. So what did you do? You said, "Honey, I'll sacrifice and we'll have chicken." You did that because you love her. Maybe you'll have your steak later or something. You have to have a business meeting the next day at a steakhouse. Maybe that'll be it. Some way you can get that in. You will sacrifice on your behalf. She wants to eat at one restaurant and you want to eat at another restaurant. Well, being the husband that you are or the wife that you are, you say, "You know what, honey, we'll go where you want." You sacrifice time. Do we love the Lord that way? That we're willing to sacrifice maybe watching basketball on TV or the football game. Maybe it's going out and doing something in the garage that needs taken care of. We need to make sure we're making use of our time and spending time with the Lord, committing ourselves to Him that way. Not only that, but we're trusting Him. We need to have our full trust in Him. A lot of times we don't trust Him. We are to, Proverbs 3:5, to trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Do we really trust God? When we love our spouse and they say something, we know we can trust them. What about God? When I open up His Word and He says something to me, can I trust Him? He says the most important thing that you ever do in your entire life, above getting a job, above going to school, above getting a paycheck, above getting a family, even above and beyond your own family. He even describes it, Jesus does, if you do not hate your father and mother and your children and your spouse, you cannot follow me. What's he saying? To hate them? His point is not to have an animosity towards them, but the relationship that we have to God in comparison to the relationship we have to them is such that it appears to be hate. It doesn't come out that way. But the fact is, who's number one in my life? God should be. And if I'm in a situation where if I'm a person that gets saved and the rest of my family is not saved, and they come up to me and they say, "Look, either you recant and never have anything to do with that Jesus, or we will absolutely disown you." What decision do you make? Well, you love your family, but do you love God more? Do you trust God in such a way that you love Him so much when He tells you something from the Scripture, you'll do it? We need to commit our love with all of our heart. We need to serve the Lord with all our heart. We need to serve Him with all of our heart. Everything I do, I need to serve the Lord my God with all my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But you fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." If I love, I'm going to serve. I love my family, so I serve my family. There are some things I wanted to get done this weekend, and I did not get done. Why? Because I was spending the time with my family. Why? Because I wanted to serve them. I sacrificed that, and I served them. "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgment. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul." In serving the Lord, we're obeying Him in the things that He tells us to do. Deuteronomy 30 verse 2 echoes, and so Joshua 22 verse 5 says, "Take careful heed to do the commandment of the law of Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to hold fast to Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Are you finding over and over again what we are to do with all our heart and all our soul is to love the Lord our God? And so in doing so, we need to serve Him with everything that we are. And as we do this, as we, with all of our heart, are falling in love with the Lord, and with all of our heart, we are not only falling in love with the Lord, but committing ourselves to Him. And in doing so, we are serving the Lord our God. With all that, we end up rejoicing in love with all our heart. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14, talking about in that day, in the future, talking about Israel, but I believe it's true of us, what should happen to us when we are in love with the Lord our God. It says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, because of Jesus Christ, as He comes to reign over this earth, because of the salvation that He brings." You see, we with all our heart are to love the Lord. We command here, what is the most important thing of everything under the sun, above and beyond anything else? What should I make sure that I do? I must make sure that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind. I must do that. If that is true, this is a commandment from Jesus, God Himself. If this is the commandment of God, that above all other things, I am to love Him, what do you think your resolution should be for this next year? Should be for all the time, isn't it? We need to make sure that we are intentionally driving to love the Lord our God, our entire being. We should be able to wake up in the morning and have, "What's my agenda today?" In fact, why don't you do that? Maybe you've, as gone through the message, written down a list of things that you need to get done today. Have you done that? You're sitting there and you thought, "You know what? That's right, I need to get this done." Sometimes Satan likes to remind us of things that we like to do, and you got a little list there. Right now, put on number one right there, above the one that you already got. So, love God. Today I have to love God. Truth is, I have to do it every day. every hour, right? But I need to make the intentional moves to do that. So I'm going to fall in love with Him for all the things that He's done for me. And I'm going to do that by spending time with Him and learning and observing and experiencing things with Him. Not only that, as I the more I love with God that I am, I'm going to have a stronger commitment to Him in everything that I do, which means sacrificing those things that sin or those distractions that are keeping me from loving God the way that I should. Because you know what happens when you're married and you love your wife, but all of a sudden you see somebody at work or somebody that you come in contact with from time to time and you happen to notice they're not bad looking. You know, they're a nice person. You know, I kind of feel good when I'm around them. I wish my wife would do this like they did. Do you see a progression happening here? Well, I can't believe my wife treated me like that this morning. You know, I can't wait till I see what's her name. She kind of brightens my day. And your affections slowly creep over, and before long, you're involved in sin. And we ought to love the Lord our God with everything that we are. And as we look at the things of the world, there's nothing wrong with loving the Huskers like we do, like everybody should. There's nothing wrong with that, but is it a love that's more than our love for the Lord? We need to guard ourselves the way we would in a relationship, a committed relationship, like husband and wife. We need to have the same sort of guard up when it comes to love we have for our Lord and the things of this world. So that way, in the end, we can rejoice in that love that we have for Him. We can celebrate that love by giving praise to Him, by seeing His hand at work, by knowing that He works in us and through us, by seeing Him do mighty, magnificent things around us. And we can rejoice and give praise to Him for it. I encourage you today to commit yourself to fall in love with all your heart to the Lord. To commit yourself with all your heart to honor Him and to serve Him with all your heart, as well as to expect the rejoicing that comes from doing so. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd be with each one of us here this morning. I thank You for the love that You showed to us by sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the full penalty for our sin. That in doing so and paying that full penalty for our sin, knowing that He did so because of a love that You've done for us and given us not only opportunity, the blessing, the honor to be Your children, for each one that has put our faith and Your Son as our Savior. Thank You for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by which we have the relationship that we can have to love You with all of our heart. And now I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You will help us, that indeed we would, with all that we are, love You. So that way, with the things of this world we hold very loosely, the things of this world that we would enjoy as a gift from You, but also remember it comes from You and that our love will grow in You. Father, I ask that this next year, our love for You will be magnificent, that we might look back and see that from today, we did not love You near as much. But by the end of next year, our love will have exploded. Thank You, Father, so much for all that You've done. And we ask this now that You help us to love You. In Jesus' name, amen.